Talking Industry, topical debate from the world of engineering, automation, and manufacturing. Brought to you by DFA Media Group. This episode is sponsored by Drives and Controls, the number one event for automation, power transmission, and motion control. Taking place the 5th and the 6th of June 2024 at the NEC Birmingham, in association with Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week. Register now at www.drives-expo.com.
Well, I think this is quite a good point to lead on to your comments, Nikesh, and thanks for your patience. The end of that comment was high adoption nations maybe have a more cohesive industrial strategy and funding, which is very much what you were talking about in terms of the Gambika industrial strategy and others. Who no doubt see it in the same way. So tell us a little bit more about that, how you see the prospective new government maybe looking at some of these areas in a different way to the current government, or will it be the same, or don't we know? And then go on to your pet project of STEM education.
Yes, well, it's always difficult to say what the government might want, to do in terms of their industrial strategy, because, as we know, it was scrapped before, and we weren't sure where they were going to go from that. But from a Gambika member's perspective, we are constantly in discussion with, BEIS, Department for International Trade, and a few other departments, where we are telling them exactly what our members feel about the adoption. So we're actually producing a manifesto in line with other associations at the moment to make sure that we're all aligned in what we will propose towards the government, whether it's the existing government or a new government. We're not sure. Nobody really knows the ins and outs of when the general election will be. But what we've decided at Gambika is to make sure that we've got something in place for then. And I think many other organizations are the same, because it is important to stress, how the industry are feeling, manufacturers would like to see before any manifesto from the government actually gets sent out. So we are working on it, and it's something that, I think a lot of organizations find very, very important at the moment. Ironically enough, it doesn't directly tie into what we're doing. Doing about STEM, keeping it very separate. The government and our targets within, our future workforces, and that, they're not directly aligned in that sense. It's a separate initiative that we're running together to focus on STEM. Sorry, Andy,
No, that's fine. I mean, let's go on to your comments on STEM, though. I'm sorry, I probably gave you two completely disparate discussion points there. But what more do you want?
Well, it's difficult to find synergy between. I know the government should be promoting STEM as well. Sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I mentioned the University Council earlier. We've got 16. Members on that council, 8 universities and 8 industry members, who are working towards to bridge the gap between academia and industry. And they have a STEM working group where we're working on trying to promote STEM in universities. But then on top of that, at Gambika, another initiative we've been running is our Young Council. And that's made up of, again, it's made up of 16 individuals from all member companies. And they call themselves the Young Council, but they're not necessarily all young. It's young in their industry career. So that means the first 10 years of their industrial career. So they might have come from all different backgrounds, as I mentioned before, we've got some apprentices, we've got some from university, we've some who've done neither and just started working in their business and worked their way up through that from a young age. So really bright group of individuals who all have different ideas. And they're all big STEM ambassadors at the moment, which is something that's quite important to us. And they're also helping roll out more STEM ambassadors in Gambika members. So attending things like the Big Bang Fair and going to events and schools where we can promote STEM subjects. And I think it's quite important, because you know, going into a school, a primary school, for example, when you've got a group of, you know, young individuals who are, you know, who can demonstrate success, it's quite nice for the future generations to look at them and relate to them and say, you know, oh, you know, I would like to do what that person's doing, and, you know, get rid of the stigmas that are behind STEM subjects, that people don't always see them being, you know, the most attractive industry to be in. But, you know, when you've got a group of individuals being able to go into schools or other, you know, facilities or youth centres and things like that to actually spread the word of what it means to be in a STEM career, I think that really, really changes the perspective of the younger generation. So it's quite, it's a very powerful scheme. It's very promising, actually.
How do you measure the effectiveness of it? And I mean, I guess that, you know, there's so much to do, it's difficult to do enough. But, you know, how do you measure the effectiveness of the image of engineering?
Hopefully that's not my signal. Okay, yeah, no, that's actually a really interesting point, because there is no direct way to measure exactly, you know, the influence that we could have. You know, it comes down to, you know, if we change the mind of, you know, a few students that we come across, then that goes a long way. You know, it's very difficult to quantify exactly how, you know, how much influence you can have in that space. But I think that's not a good enough excuse to not do it. You know, that means you just have to keep at it and, you know, work hard and make sure that, you know, you're sending the right messages. You know, we've mentioned AI and things like that. There are still biases in these new technologies. You know, you go onto a platform like ChatGPT and search, you know, an engineer or search for CEO or something like that, and there are still a bias that comes up in the pictures that might come up, or the images or the descriptions even. So, you know, we need to start eliminating those before we, you know, we look at anything else as well, to prevent those biases too.
Mm. Gary, I mean, what's your position on you know, developing the sort of ideas that Nikesh has expressed there about getting more involvement with young people into engineering careers?
You're almost preaching to the converted, Andy. I mean, as I said, I went through an engineering apprenticeship. Best thing, everybody should be done. Everyone should do it. I'm biased, okay? It's a brilliant grounding, and it allows you to go off into almost any career you choose, because you get the basic, good, solid engineering grounding. Always been a big supporter of apprentices. So we take on apprentices. We've taken on graduates. We've sponsored PhDs. So again, from entry level, we've currently got a couple of T levels going through. Huge supporter of opportunity to our youngsters. Okay, kind of, you know, it's great to see them develop. At the same token, I normally find that the teachers need some more teaching. So it's not the students that are the issue, it's the lecturers that are sometimes so wrapped up in academia, they forget there's a real world out there. And they're not able to offer advice or guidance as to the opportunities that are outside of their academic silo. So I certainly do a lot of work with our local technical college. I was governor there for about 8 years, trying to improve the engineering department and what they could do. They still haven't bought a robot off of us yet, though, so I've still got to work on that. But then you've got companies like Reading University were a leading light in robot tech, and then industry came and poached every single one of the lecturers, and the department shut down. So there is still, you know, people know that there's value, but whole university department shut because it just got cleared out. So industry has to look at itself a bit. If you're trying to actually bring people through, you do need to support education as well and not just pilfer it.
Yeah. John, you must have some strong views. I mean, I know Siemens is very much in this area.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that that reference from Reading. I think my undergraduate degree was physics, and this is always something that I thought there was a difference between exactly what you mentioned there, Gary, a silo of academia and the immediate projects and research going on versus what can scale, what does industry need and want, and what's going to be commercially viable and sustainable for the next sort of 10, 20, 30 years. We're constantly trying to upskill the lecturers that are part of the Connected Curriculum partnership and the program there. So that is something that we are looking at, looking at the latest technology, making sure that these are skills not just for the next year or the year after, but you know, for 10, 20, 30 years or so. So yeah, trying to teach the teachers is really something that the Connected Curriculum does. And that's really by workshopping and training that we do within the product managers and the sales specialists and the general product owners that sit within the likes of Siemens. And on the Connected Curriculum, there are some other partners as well. So some of the technology partners such as Festo that come into this. And obviously from a Gambika perspective as well. I think really it's trying to, you know, appeal to these engineers. And one thing that we do look to do is really look at STEM outreach. So whether that is looking at going into schools, whether that's looking at going into technical colleges as well, or simply things like the IET events. So the Engineering and Technicians Institution. So really promoting what engineering means today and trying to shift a lot of the mindset from, you know, potentially oily gloves and overalls versus what, you know, can be a really fulfilling and as Gary mentions, an adaptable career that can lay the foundation for a lot of opportunities down the line.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end of our allotted time. So there's just a couple of things I think I'd like to just cover quickly. We've started to get into the field of artificial intelligence and machine learning and the contributions it can make. We've also had, a recent meeting between Richie and Elon Musk. There's a feeling that it provides, you know, is it a fear or an opportunity to get involved with AI and machine learning, and how do we deal with that particular issue? Nikesh, go on. Let's throw a curveball at you.
Sure, I'll happily accept that. And I don't think it should be not necessarily feared. It just needs to be used correctly. You know, I think it comes down to, it's parallel with robotics. You know, use the right tool for the right application. Don't just use AI for the sake of using AI. You know, it's such a powerful tool. There is so much that it can do, and it's very, you know, goes hand in hand with machine learning. There's a very fine line between what we know as machine learning. We've learned and grown up with it for a very long time, so it's not like it's a brand new piece of equipment or software or anything like that. And AI is exactly the same, but it's about being used very carefully and, you know, making sure that, as I mentioned before, we eliminate early biases or eliminate wrong misinformation, which we all know that can be spread in the media or other areas, you know, so we don't want AI to send out misinformation, but it can be used as a very powerful tool and should be used. I don't think it should, you know, I don't think we should fear it. We should embrace it as any other technology. I don't know if Gary or John want to jump in and either disagree or agree, but.
Yeah, I think exactly that. And I think the other side is that this isn't something that's necessarily going to steal someone's job either. There was it's before obviously I was born, but when the computers were introduced, the top 10 sort of fields of employment, everyone feared that computers were going to take over their jobs. And ultimately the same study was done in what the top 10 fields of employment were. They were exactly the same. Number 11 was then software developer after the development of a computer. So, you know, things, whether it's, you know, a receptionist, an engineer, a doctor, obviously everyone uses computers. It becomes part of the way that we work. I think AI is going to be exactly the same. So it might not be that someone, as our CEO Roland Busch said, it might not be someone or AI takes your job, but it might be that someone using AI can do something better. So I think it's definitely something to jump in two-footed and look at it and understand how it can optimize and use, be useful in your business.
Definitely. Gary.
Yeah, I mean, AI is certainly ideal from an engineering point of view in terms of inspection. You're actually looking at conditions that are pass or fail, product identification, pattern recognition, and predicting results based on those patterns. It's another tool. I say it's just you understand what it can do and what you want it to do, and it's a perfect tool. But in a world full of data, you're trying to make better decisions based on the data available, and AI should be allowing you to make better decisions.
Yeah, so we're all taking the positive view on that one, which is great. So we just had a comment from Mark Jeffries just to say an interesting topic, and as a manufacturer of complementary products, we're facing similar challenges in technology uptake. To finish, I'll just have a quick round robin, starting with John. Where do you think we're going to be in 5 years' time in terms of our implementation of robotics and automation?
I think we will be far beyond where we are today, but I think we will still be trailing some of the other G7 countries. At the moment, if we can turn the tide, great. But I think what I'd say would be to look at the main Smarter report and the other reports you've mentioned today, engage with technology vendors, and also use things like the catapults that are part government funded and provide a safe space for some of this trial and error.
Great stuff. Nikesh, same question to you.
Yep, just to double onto that, the catapults, your associations, your training centres such as the MTC, all of these areas, Make UK, we're all giving promotions into areas of technology adoption. So, use the experts, you're not on your own, the industry, we're all in this together. So I think it's a collaborative effort. If we are going to get better at adopting robots and automation in the future, it is a collaborative effort. And I think we need to do it as an industry as a whole. And remember that, the more we help each other and spread the word about education and, knowledge about what can be done with robotics and automation, the more the investment and implementation will happen. So, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. And Gary, last word.
Okay, well, the technology isn't going away. So it's only going to keep progressing. So the tools to use it will only get better. The speeds, the reliability, the adaptability, all of this is just going to keep on getting better. And when you think coupled with labor costs going up, energy costs coming up, sustainability being a bigger thing on the issue, automation is really the only way to tackle some of these problems, because automation is a relatively fixed cost, and its energy consumption is probably less than a person. So it's almost, if you want to keep up and progress, you have to look at automation, but please go into it with open eyes and get good advice.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Well, we all agree on that. Automation is entirely compatible with the needs of the planet going forward, energy saving, net zero, all of those things. So we will turn the tide, to use that phrase. So thank you very much for our panelists for an inspiring discussion this morning. In terms of turning the tide, this is King Canute signing off, and we very much look forward to the next Talking Industry.
Talking Industry, topical debate from the world of engineering, automation and manufacturing. Brought to you by DFA Media Group. This episode is sponsored by Drives and Controls, the number one event for automation, power transmission and motion control. Taking place the 5th and the 6th of June 2024 at the NEC Birmingham, in association with Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week. Register now at www.drives-expo.com.